Good morning, and welcome to the Merchants Bancshares Incorporated Q3 2014 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Michael Tuttle. Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you've all had a chance to review the press release that went out after the close of the market yesterday. I am joined here this morning by our Chief Operating Officer, Jeff Hestlink. We're going to go over the high points from the quarter. Certainly we'll be happy to take your questions after we're done. So as you saw from the press release, probably some of the couple of the major points, the year-to-date results and the quarter certainly impacted by one-time expenses. For the quarter, those one-time expenses total about $850,000. Year-to-date, about $1,240,000. The net impact on our EPS for the quarter was 9 cents, and for the year-to-date, 13 cents. The margin continues to be under pressure, contracted about 3 basis points on a linked quarter basis, 11 basis points year over year. As you can see from the press release, declining loan yields have been the primary driver of the margin compression. Liability pricing and costs have been relatively stable throughout that time frame. We've continued to build liquidity. We reduced the investment portfolio and related price volatility exposure there. But at the same time, we haven't seen any significant loan growth over the past 12 months. Jeff will be commenting on that more in just a couple of minutes. Average cash balances are up about $50 million on a year-over-year average for the quarter, Q3 versus Q3. Investment balances on average are down $80 million. Again, third quarter of last year, third quarter of this year. The build in cash certainly has had an impact on the margin. If you assume that that cash would have been yielding you 2% in the investment portfolio versus what we got for it, primarily at the Fed, that accounts for about 6 basis points of the 11 basis points in margin compression between the third quarter of last year and the third quarter of this year. Non-interest income is up $128,000 versus the third quarter last year. Year-to-date, it's up $419,000. This is all absent some one-time events. Typically, those are security gains and losses in there. Trust fees and service charges on deposit accounts have increased more than enough to offset declines in the overdraft category and interchange income from debit cards. Non-interest expense, absent the one-time charges, was flat on a linked quarter basis and was up about 2.5% versus the third quarter last year. So as we look forward to the fourth quarter, our expectation is the margin will probably contract another basis point or two, as added loan volume probably will not be enough to offset the lower yields in the loan portfolio. The investment portfolio will probably stabilize about where it was at the end of the third quarter, somewhere in that 325 to 330 range. Expectations on non-interest income should be in the $3 to $3.1 million range. We will gain some added benefit from the core conversion that will be completed by the end of this month on the income side. And one-time expenses related to the conversion should be approximately $450,000 in the fourth quarter. Should keep our core expense trend right around the $10 million mark for the fourth quarter. This should conclude the last of our significant expenses related to the core conversion as we move into 2015. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Hestlink, our Chief Operating Officer and Senior Lender.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. I'll give you
some brief summary of the asset quality and more importantly, what we're seeing for loan production and loan activity. The asset quality remains excellent. It's really a non-event for our company. We expect the asset quality will remain strong in the foreseeable future. Again, the real meaningful discussion item for us for the quarter and really for the last 12 months is loan production. Third quarter was soft for us. We saw the seasonal rebound in the government banking business. Adjusting for that seasonal rebound, that business line was flat for us for the quarter. And that's frankly more than we can say for other lending lines. Our residential business, our C&I business, and our commercial real estate business all experienced decreases over the quarter. And the reason is the loan origination activity simply was not adequate to cover amortization and normal prepays. We are not generating adequate loan volume to grow. Looking back four quarters, as Mike mentioned, we're actually down slightly from September 13. This result is disappointing to us. It's not acceptable to us. As you may recall, coming into the year, we had a 6% loan growth objective, and we were in part going to fund that loan growth with investment portfolio cash flows. One of our strategies to combat the margin pressure was to change the asset mix to be a little more loan heavy. Obviously, when we miss those loan growth objectives, we don't accomplish that asset mix change, and that was another material contributor to the margin compression and earnings pressure that Mike mentioned earlier. So, with the current interest rate environment and the current banking environment, we understand that this margin pressure will persist, and accordingly, it's imperative that we add loan volume in order to achieve our earning objectives. It is our plan to grow loans going forward. That growth, we believe, is going to be centered in our commercial lending business. We have a real nice pipeline right now of both C&I deals and commercial real estate deals. We expect to grow in the fourth quarter. We think we'll end the year up. We'll end December of this year, and we'll be at that 2% annual growth rate that we mentioned last call. Some of the pipeline deals will carry over in the first quarter, so we think we'll have a nice start there. And while the pipeline gives us a nice base for next year, we're going to have to identify some more growth in our commercial business. And you might ask, how are we going to do that? Well, we're not going to compete on the credit. We're not going to alter our credit terms or compromise our credit structure. We're not going to compete on the credit front. But our balance sheet is well positioned for us to price competitively, frankly, to have competitive credit spreads and offer competitive fixed rates. Our liquidity position, our strong funding base, and reduced investment portfolio duration, frankly, allows us to take some duration extension in the loan portfolio. And we feel that this strategy is going to allow us to increase our growth rate in the commercial business next year. Aside from the opportunity to grow our commercial business, we are making changes to how we deliver residential mortgage loans. We don't anticipate a change to the products or main of portfolio lender, but we're going to change our delivery method, and we think that's going to give us a chance to add some volume. It's not likely we can grow our residential loan business in a material way in 2015, but we think the changes will allow us to reduce or maybe even stop the rate of decline in that business. So if we can accomplish that, and along with how we expect to grow our commercial lending businesses, we think that's going to provide us for a more robust loan growth rate in 2015. So I will stop there with my prepared remarks. Of course, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. I'll turn you back over to Michael.
Great. Thank you, Jeffrey. So, guess in summary, we need volume to offset the compression, plain and simple. We're going to have to sacrifice some of the benefit that we would expect to get out of rising rates in order to reduce that exposure that we have now to flat and down rates. And at the same time, we're going to have to become more efficient and productive with a new core system that we're completing the installation of this month. So why don't we stop there, Kate, and if folks have questions, we'd certainly be happy to try and answer those right now.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question comes from Matthew Breese from Stern AG. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Matt.
In terms of the core conversion, could you just give us an idea of the breakdown between revenue enhancements and expense saves, around the $800,000 level you're talking about?
That's predominantly in revenue enhancement, Matt, and it has to do with interchange income on the debit card line.
Okay, so with expenses at 9.9 to 10 million, that'll remain constant, so long as you're able to keep a tight lid on expenses, and the revenues is really where you'll see the benefit.
Exactly, predominantly in there. You may see a small benefit at the expense line, and let me add just a little more on that. We're going to go live on the system next week, and we're going to be certainly spending some time looking at process and figuring out ways to use the system most efficiently and to get the most benefit out of it. So, what that might mean on the expense side is early for us to say, frankly, at this point. And so I don't want to give you any, I can't give you any guidance, frankly, on what that might mean, but it's certainly something that we're going to be focused hard on next year.
Okay. And then, Jeffrey, just talking about the overall commercial C&I and CRE pipeline, where does that pipeline stack up at the end of this quarter compared to where it was last quarter?
Could you ask that again, Matt? I want to make sure I understand that question.
The commercial loan pipelines at quarter end, how does that compare to where it was at quarter the second quarter end?
Good question. It is slightly larger, and it is populated with many of the same names that existed in the second quarter. So if the question is, have there been some delays in the pipeline, the answer to that is yes. We need to get better at that. We need to close loans faster and get them on the books faster. But it is a larger pipeline. There are more names in it than there were a quarter ago. And so we are not losing deals out of the pipeline, but we need to close loans at a faster pace.
Right. Okay. And then my last question is around a big employer in Vermont, in Essex Junction, is IBM, that plant was recently acquired by Global Foundries. And I wanted to know if you had any insight as to how the 4,000 jobs there would or might be impacted by the acquisition.
Well, we can't tell you anything more than what we know from reading the news accounts on it, Matt. Number one, the deal's not closed yet, and it doesn't sound as though it will be into next year. Publicly, at this stage of the game, they're stating that they're going to keep all the folks and that the plant's going to continue to do what it's been doing with the same level of employment, which, again, nobody knows for certain. IBM doesn't share the stats on the actual numbers of employees there, but 4,000 certainly is the generally accepted number out there. Whether that's exactly what it is, we don't know. What does that mean for the future? We could speculate on that for you at this stage of the game. That plan has seen a steady decline here over an extended period of time. And do we think that trend's going to be changed? Do we think that we would expect to see a different trend for that plant under new ownership? We're not planning on it. We don't have an expectation related to that. Any more thoughts on that one?
That's all the information I have. It sounds like the deployment's going to stay, and there won't be a big impact to us, at least in the short term.
Appreciate it. That's all I had. I'll hop back in the queue. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. And we have a follow-up from Matthew Breeze from Stern AG. Please go ahead.
Sure, Matt.
Well, if there's no other follow-ups, I guess I'm just curious about, given, the loan growth environment, I was hoping you guys could talk a little bit about, potential for M&A and, how discussions have gone with you and other banks and potentially finding a target to enhance growth prospects.
All I can tell you is that we're certainly reaching out to parties to ascertain interest that they might have, Matt, and having very preliminary discussions on a couple of fronts, but nothing that I could share with you that's going to provide you anything more than that, I guess, at this stage of the game. It's our intent to make the capital that we have been accumulating work harder for the benefit of our shareholders. If M&A is one of the avenues we have available to accomplish that objective, we're absolutely committed to investigating and looking at all the opportunities that might come our way. We are actively, again, reaching out to several parties to determine their level of interest, but very early stages, I would say, at this stage of the game with any potential parties. And I wouldn't expect that we'd be in a position to do anything probably before the second half of next year, realistically. We need to complete this core conversion, get that system running properly before we can try and integrate anything else with it. But now's the time to be having discussions if that's the time frame that we're shooting at.
And geographically speaking, in the past we've talked about New Hampshire and Western Massachusetts. Are those still the primary areas of focus, or have you broadened that radius at all?
No, not necessarily. Those are certainly two of the primary markets that we'd be interested in, absolutely. And I would say at this stage of the game, that's where most of the parties we're having any discussion with are located.
Okay. I appreciate the follow-up, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Michael Tuttle for any closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, Kate. Thank you all for joining us on the call this morning. We appreciate your interest. We appreciate your support. We are moving forward on a number of fronts here. This has certainly been a year where we've done a lot of investment in our business, building up our capacity and the foundation. We are very much looking forward to concluding the core conversion this quarter, moving forward into next year with a focus on growing the company, both organically and obviously if the opportunity is available to via M&A. And we look forward to meeting with you again, I think it'll be in January, to go over the year-end results and give you some more insights on what we see for 15. Thank you.
A replay of this conference will be available approximately 1 hour from the conclusion of the call. The U.S. toll-free number is 1-877-344-7529. 7529. The international toll number is 1-412-317-0088. The Canada toll-free number is 1-855-669-9658. The conference number is 1-0037-012, and you will be asked to state your name and company upon entering the call. The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.